The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks.
Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day. And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Monday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined as always by my well-rested colleague, the Professor Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, when we call a college basketball team for a traveling violation this week, it doesn't mean they just took a few extra steps on the court. We're going to talk to you about Shakespearean tragedies that unfold by a single bounce of the ball, including curtain calls for a couple of coaches. And this evening, will the UCLA basketball coach put one of his best players in a full Nelson or a half Nelson?
Oh, man. You spend all morning thinking of those, don't you? I mean, is that something you'd sleep on the night before? They're good.
20 seconds here in the studio before we
well
start.
Done. Well, full Nelson or a half Nelson? I'm interested to hear what the UCLA take is for tonight. But first, Dave, let's start with your first take. Busy weekend of action, no question. College football, NFL, college hoops, all on center stage. What'd you see that you want to share?
Actually, an amazing weekend when you look at some of the action. And it comes down to one of these little conundrums that you'll have when you do what we do day in and day out. Most times you do have to root for your own pocket, largely because no one else is rooting for your pocket. But sometimes it's just the beauty and the majesty of sport that ends up taking priority. So we're sitting there watching Oklahoma State and Iowa State on Friday night. And as you've known by watching this show, we sort of had this little pipe dream in the back of our heads. Could we get LSU against one of the Oklahoma teams and get Alabama against the other? Because that would be a dynamic double duo for our pockets. Not going to happen anymore. Iowa State pulls a stunning upset. We're probably actually going to end up having Alabama and LSU playing for the national championship. But when all is said and done, we love the sport more than the profits it might have generated. We become Iowa State fans at the end. And what a memory afterwards. 30 minutes after the game, no one has left that stadium yet. And Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond is not only blaring in the loudspeakers, but everyone seemingly in that stadium is singing along to it. I've never been to Ames, Iowa. Probably not going to go anytime soon, if that's where things are. But what a fascinating moment to sit through. Good for them. Teddy, what do you bring from a very busy weekend?
Well, it's not certainly Boston Red Sox retreads. Obviously, Sweet Caroline played in the eighth inning of every home game for the Red Sox at Fenway. So apparently that's traveling out to the heartland now. But for me, my target, and yes, there's a target here in today's rant or today's first take, whatever you want to call it. The rant's going to be, it's so easy. It's not that hard to criticize the NCAA. And I will find dozens of opportunities throughout the course of a year to find stupid things that the NCAA does that need to be criticized. Because honestly, in all of sports, there's no worse organization. There's no organization more deserving of criticism or even, removal. NCAA shouldn't be there anymore. But let's start with a college football playoff. We saw three teams now, three of them, lose their national championship hopes because of field goal kickers. Alabama, obviously, they had the four ineffectual field goals in the loss to LSU. We saw Boise State lose their national title dreams based on a missed field goal. And, of course, the Oklahoma State missed field goal late in the fourth quarter on Friday night, leading to that double overtime loss. So now three of the top five teams in the country are out because their kicker missed a field goal at the end of the ballgame. Doesn't mean the rest of the team is bad. Doesn't mean the other 84 players on the roster aren't any good. It means that one kicker, maybe you want to throw the snapper and the holder into the mix, say three of the players involved. But the bottom line is there are three of the top five teams that are not going to be playing for the national title. Probably. Maybe Alabama gets there. But the bottom line is that are long shots to play for the national title just because of kickers. And you know whose fault that is? It's all the NCAA's fault. all their fault. There should be and needs to be a playoff. Obama said we had to have one 4 years ago. Hello, campaign promises. Get it together, Barry. Now, let's shift over to Market Watch. And what a week to talk about, Dave. When we talk about the best weeks of the year for sports bettors, you know, serious sports bettors know that an NFL regular season week is going to give you more betting opportunities than the entire course of the playoffs. Serious bettors know that the week before March Madness, when all the conference tournaments are going on, is a far better betting opportunity than all of March Madness itself. And serious bettors know that this week, during Thanksgiving, when we have NFL, college football, and college hoops, basically morning, noon, and night for the next 7 days, boy, this is a great week to be a sports bettor.
So let's say lay some of the framework for you right from the start, because it is going to be a busy cycle. And we've got a lot of letters from many of you on, you know, saying that you're in your early stages of working through some of these processes. So let's work along with it. The first thing you want to do is set your parameters for this week. You know, we do have sports around the clock every day. You know, college basketball is being played while we're on the air right now. As we're on the air each of the next 2 days, there'll be games being played while we're here. So one of the first things we want to talk to people about is bankroll management. And there's a conundrum that we see that happens a lot. You'll see some football lines for Saturday or Sunday that you think are off a little bit. You want to lock in now at the best price, but when you see how many games are going to be played between now and then, you don't want to lock in with money that you might need come Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday with those big opportunities. So the first thing you want to do is sit down with a chart. Look at the games that are out there. Particularly focus in on these starting times. You do not want to miss, you know, a game, especially Friday, where you've got games starting as early as 8 o'clock on the football schedule, Nevada time, 11 o'clock on the East Coast. So get this particular week under control as early as you possibly can.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving Day itself, because I think we've all been in a situation where, you know, I'm sure just about every bettor I've ever talked to has some Thanksgiving horror story where they bet too much on a Thanksgiving game and they're watching it and they're feeling sick and they're going to the bathroom and puking because they just lost next month's rent. Thanksgiving Day, you know, what do we have? We have four football games and a handful of college basketball games. No NBA on the slate this year. If there's one day during this stretch, you know, I personally tend to take Thanksgiving fairly light. I would encourage you to do the same thing just for a quality of life standpoint. We all bet. We all love to bet. You would be watching the show if you weren't in that mix. But the bottom line is life's still going to happen. And things like Thanksgiving where you get to spend some quality family time, hey, you can get involved. Not a time to go nuts.
So here's what we're going to do for you. So over the course of the next couple of shows, a couple of key things you should be looking at. These college basketball trips. We talk about teams on the way to or on the way back from a tournament where they're very vulnerable. We're going to be listing some of those for you. We've got one in our Insider Six-Pack today. And our opening segment tomorrow, we're going to talk about the bowl implications on the College Board this week, coaches that may or may not be fired that can impact the games, all the extra motivational factors that go beyond the statistics for this week's College Football Board. That'll be coming up in Market Watch tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and all the more reasons to keep watching and tuning in to Vegas Sports Day throughout the course of Thanksgiving week. Quick scheduling note, we will be off on Thursday. However, there will be shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and obviously all of next week. Now, those emails you've been sending are tremendous, and I promise we're going to do a full mailbag tomorrow. Today's show is a little bit packed. Tomorrow we're going to get to every email that is pertinent to our discussion. Please keep those emails coming in. sportsday@covers.com. Get new Twitter signups by the boatload every day. Be one of them. @VegasSportsDay on Twitter. And of course, get involved in the covers.com community. Great community of sports bettors from around the globe, covers.com. Just click on the forums. When we come back, it's Shakespeare time? No, it's postmortem and Shakespeare time right here on Vegas Sports Day.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Hi, I'm Chris Phillips from Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And if you stop by the studio, our producer Scott's going to buy everybody a drink.
Okay, guys, time to scrub up. It's time for the postmortem, where we take you deep inside the game to show you things you should have seen, but probably didn't. You can learn an awful lot from William Shakespeare, and it does pertain to football. Because again, we're talking about human beings playing these games. Not numbers, not robots, but it's that human element that's going to be able to explain so many of the pratfalls out there and so many of the swings of the pendulum. But it's also the majesty of the sport itself. And some of the best ways to understand the way the ball bounces are to think about some of these Shakespearean plot twists. You think about Henry V and his "Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more," and how that moment can lead to such a cataclysmic shift between a couple of countries, England and France in that case. So we're going to use Shakespeare every once in a while to set things up. We found out after a show last week that Teddy Covers actually does quite a good Macbeth, which we will weave in here someday. But for today, we don the garb of Prince Hamlet, and once again, the play is the thing.
From all appearances, the Ron Zook era is likely coming to an end at Illinois in the very near future. We detailed some of the frustrations he was feeling in an insider six-pack item last week, and Saturday's 28-17 loss to Wisconsin, which takes the Illini from 6-0 down to 6-5, may have been the clincher. And while the way it flowed had to be a major source of frustration for Zook, it also shows us how a game can turn in a major way in favor of the team that had absolutely nothing to do with the play at all. Look at what happened to turn this game. Illinois came out and played with fire to open up the contest. They took a 14-0 lead against Wisconsin early in the second quarter, and the defense still pitching a shutout with 4 minutes left before halftime. We're talking about an Illini team that really, they brought it. They brought their A game. Until a failed Illinois drive, and then Justin Devernoy dropped back to punt near his own goal line. What happened? Snap into his hands, out of his hands, hit the turf. Wisconsin recovers at the two-yard line. Whiskey ball. All on the punter. Again, nothing to do with the coaching staff, nothing to do with what Wisconsin did, nothing to do with anyone else on the team. Punter just dropped the ball. Whiskey grabbed it. Well, that play showed the glass jaw that Illinois has right now. Following that play, the Badgers with a 28-3 run out to close out the ballgame, essentially and probably ending this Zook era, just shows how the play is the thing. It's one instance here where quite literally the punter's drop snap, no one else on the field had anything to do with that, probably going to end Ron Zook's coaching career.
Now a Hall of Fame edition of the play is the thing. When you think back to Auburn winning the national championship last year, you cannot help but remember all those great plays that Cam Newton made. But it was Antoine Carter that saved the season for Auburn and one of the biggest swing plays we've ever seen in college football. We bring it up because the Iron Bowl rematch between Auburn and Alabama is coming up in a couple of days. And what better way to start our focus into that game than look at the swing last year? Let's go back to last year's game. Alabama completely dominating early, up 21-0 early in the second quarter, controlling the flow on both sides of the ball. And they're ready to break the game wide open. Greg McElroy finds Mark Ingram open out of the backfield. And Ingram is running down the sidelines. When you're watching on television, you think, wow, this is going to become 28-0. And the Auburn dream is going to be shattered. But Antoine Carter didn't buy into that. Now, if you go back and look at the films from wide angles, you see Carter started around the Alabama 35-yard line in a sprint to chase Ingram. And this is a 255-pound defensive lineman. Gave it everything he had, caught up with Ingram from behind. Ingram, unsuspecting it so much that he didn't have the ball tucked away, Carter comes up from behind, knocks the ball away, creates a fumble that Auburn recovers at their own 18-yard line. Alabama, which was rolling 21-0 at the time, does not score another touchdown. Auburn goes on to win the rest of the game 28-6, and what a major swing. That hustle by Carter, creating that fumble, may have turned that game possibly 4 or 5 touchdowns. If he doesn't catch Ingram and it's 28-0 Alabama, who knows how bad that final score is, and we certainly would not have seen Auburn win a national championship. While we talk about the major plays that cause swings to take place, there are also plays that simply never happened. And that was the case with Jacksonville against Cleveland yesterday, a game that meant something to our pockets and possibly to yours as well, our Friday Play of the Day segment. Jack Del Rio has been coaching in the NFL for 9 years. He has a losing record. You don't hang around 9 years with a losing record very often. How's Del Rio been able to do it? Jacksonville's a small media market. You can get away with a lot of sins. But what we saw yesterday wasn't a small sin, but a cardinal sin by a football coach. So in this case, instead of the play being the thing, it's the play that never was.
Yeah, really? I mean, we'd love to tell you about the play that Jacksonville ran to beat Cleveland in the final minute of yesterday's game. Then I would have cashed my ticket, Dave would have cashed his ticket, and you out there who are following along would have cashed your tickets as well. However, the fact is that play never happened. This is a play that was going to put a mini win streak into put a mini win streak together for this Jaguar squad, possibly setting up a run to save Jack Del Rio's job. Certainly the first of ever fourth quarter comeback from Blaine Gabbert on the road. And, well, the play never happened. Jaguars got the ball at their own 29. With 2:49 remaining, they had one timeout and the two-minute warning to work with. Now, the drive was not a thing of beauty, but there they were. 41 seconds left on the clock. Third and one at the Cleveland 5. They ran Maurice Jones-Drew, and he converted for the first down down at the 2. Real simple in that situation. Your first and goal at the 2-yard line. You have about 40 seconds left, a little less than 40 seconds left. You call your timeout. You got 4 shots at the end zone. No problem. Well, the Jags chose not to call their timeout in that situation. Instead, they lined up and called a running play. They ran Maurice Jones-Drew again. And when he was tackled at the 1, by the time they finally called a timeout, guess what? 8 seconds remaining on the clock. They lost a play. And what happened? Boom. Instead of having 4 plays, you have 3. The first play is a running play. Second down, incomplete pass. Third down from the 1. The clock doesn't matter anymore. Does Maurice Jones-Drew get his chance to make fun of LeBron again? No, he doesn't. Instead of the running play from 3rd and 1, they call another incomplete pass. Ball game over. 3 chances to score a TD instead of 4. That's all clock management. That's all on the head coach. So what did the head coach do? Naturally, he threw his offensive coordinator under the bus, Dirk Cutter. Quote, our offensive coordinator calls the plays. I can't speak to his thinking. You'd have to get with him. Now, Dirk Cutter is kind of an interesting story. The Jags offensive coordinator, here's a guy who basically built the Boise State program pre-Dan Hawkins, pre-Chris Peterson. It was Dirk Cutter who built that program up into a national power initially. And then, of course, he had his chance at Arizona State, kind of crashed and burned in a program that many coaches have crashed and burned with. Now here in Jacksonville, he's been OC there for some time. Sure, he deserves some of the blame for the play calling there, but bottom line for Jack Del Rio, you screwed up, buddy, and it cost me money. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You know, Jacob, you don't have to keep that Jack Del Rio photo on file. I don't think we'll ever have to use him in the future. He's not going to be coaching next year. When we come back, the Insider Six-Pack, things you need to know for tonight's action. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
No pressure. Hi, I'm... Hi, I'm Dennis Silvers from... Can't think of the name of my damn show. Golf and other four-letter words, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network, I think.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Let's pop that top on the Insider Six-Pack for a Monday morning in Las Vegas. And first, a quick note. We will start catching up, as I mentioned earlier, on the full mailbag tomorrow. But to answer a quick letter from Bo, these are pinnacle numbers, the opening numbers that you see being used at the Covers website. Again, it's the penny openers at Covers. Thanks for writing. And we will answer all of these questions, or as many as we can, on tomorrow's show. Let's start talking about one of the unique travel situations that we tend to look for around this time of year. Now, I'm in no hurry to lay points with a rebuilding Pepperdine team, but Central Michigan is in the kind of a travel spot that you really should be looking for to circle on your schedules in the days ahead. The Chippewas are off to Alaska tomorrow morning. They open play in the Great Alaska Shootout versus New Mexico State on Thursday. Note, many times we find teams to be extremely distracted in these stopover games, either on the way there or on the way back, coming from faraway tournaments. And when teams aren't expected to be in the postseason, like Central Michigan, in other words, this is essentially a meaningless game for the Chippewas, those flat spots, boy, they tend to stand out like sore thumbs on a consistent basis. So think about how the Chippewa kids were trying to pack for this trip. Well, you're going to Malibu for a day, and then you're going up to Alaska. So have fun packing, guys. Don't know that we're going to see Central Michigan's best effort against Pepperdine this evening.
Going to finally see Notre Dame have all hands on deck tonight against Missouri. Tim Abromaitis, we talked about on Insider Six-Pack last week, was suspended for playing in an exhibition game a couple of seasons ago. He returns tonight. Also back point guard Eric Atkins and guard Joey Brooks. Atkins missed the game against Delaware State because of tonsillitis. Brooks was playing with the flu. They'll all be on the court tonight. The only question is one of chemistry and rhythm. When you miss a couple of practice days and you're going up against the type of presses Missouri's going to throw at you, and yes, even with Frank Haith coaching, they're still going to be pressing tonight. I just wonder if that conditioning for those Fighting Irish players might be off a little bit.
The Reeves-Nelson saga is going to continue for UCLA. Heck, it hasn't really ended all year yet. Now, you remember he was suspended for last week's loss against Middle Tennessee State. That was a game that UCLA lost straight up as a double-digit favorite and was reinstated. But guess what? Now he's in limbo again. Nelson missed the team bus to LAX on Saturday and had to take a later flight, missed the opening banquet ceremonies for the tournament in Maui this week. No word yet as to whether he's going to face an additional suspension for missing that team bus, but it's certainly a possibility for often suspended youngster. And, you know, note that UCLA will finally get the sophomore forward Anthony Snover on the court, but they could be without the other forward, David Ware, who's supposed to be an impact player for this team. He suffered a concussion in practice over the weekend. Now, UCLA 0-2 straight up, 0-2 against the spread, two straight up losses as double-digit home chalk. How disjointed has this opening of the season been? Well, let's put it this way. Ben Howland talking about using some 2-3 zones in tonight's ballgame. Howland hates playing zone defense, only does it because his team chemistry on defense isn't anywhere near where it needs to be thus far. UCLA, 13.5-point chalk against Chaminade in late-night action this evening.
Short practice week, the last thing that Mike Sherman, the Texas A&M coach, needs to be facing right now. Real problems at running back heading into Thursday night showdown against Texas. Christine Michael, who had been the team's leading rusher, was lost for the season 2 weeks ago. Now Cyrus Gray, who had taken over that role, declared out just before he went on the air with a shoulder injury. They don't have any other running back on their roster who's even reached 100 yards this year. It's quarterback Tannehill, who's the number three rusher, but he's only effective as a runner when he can fake to one of the other two first. That's a big hole for A&M to have to overcome and a short practice week to patch it together. Note for Texas, a couple of guys who had been injured, their top two runners, Joe Bergeron, Malcolm Brown, both came back against Kansas State. And while we don't have enough time to fit that game into a postmortem this week, note one of the most misleading college scores of the year. Texas actually beats Kansas State 15-8 in first downs, 310-121 in total offense, but lost it on the scoreboard. Make sure you make a note of that.
Two key college football quarterback injuries keeping some games off the board for today. We have the Louisville-South Florida game where B.J. Daniels suffered a concussion in the loss to Miami this past Saturday. His status still to be determined. And, of course, UTEP and Central Florida, maybe not the same, I don't know, I guess the Conference USA games don't have the same panache as these Big East showdowns. But the bottom line, Nick Lamiason for UTEP, a question mark for this weekend. Without him in the lineup, really wasn't a factor this past weekend against Tulsa. UTEP moved the football well with Brandon Meagher at quarterback, gaining 28 first downs and 429 yards in their loss to Tulsa.
Also off the board for now, the Arizona-Lafayette game. Career of Arizona quarterback Nick Foles may be over. He suffered a strained muscle midway through the fourth quarter against Arizona State on Saturday night. Led to one of those great crescendo moments, though, in college football. A guy who our good friend Arnie Lang would have referred to as a squad man. Bryson Burney had been with the Arizona program for 4 years, goes on the field, finally gets to throw a pass. The only pass he throws, complete to Jerron Kreiner for the game-winning touchdown. Not sure if he'll get the start this week or if they'll give one of the younger guys a look. It's one of these awkward situations. You know, Tim Kish is not going to be retained as the head coach. What decision does he make this week, knowing that it probably doesn't matter for his coaching future.
That's got to be pretty cool, though. You know, you throw one collegiate pass, and guess what? It's a touchdown pass to beat your arch rival. That's got to be fun. And speaking of fun, Money Time's going to be fun right next.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay, guys, it's right now, not right next. Money time! This edition of Money Time brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's go to Maui, shall we? Time for a Maui Wowie time with Duke minus 12 against... Who are they? Tennessee this evening. Oops. Duke minus 12 against the Vols for Maui action later today.
Great field in this tournament this year. And we've always sort of considered it's the official start of college basketball season, watching these games. Because unlike so many of these other tournaments where teams go to get in shape for the season, to work on their player rotations, you go to Maui to win. And one guy who's done that better than anyone, Mike Krzyzewski. This will be the fifth trip for Duke. 4-0 in this tournament, 12-0 in all games, but they've come away with the championship all four times. Is this year's team good enough to do it? Some serious questions that we can probably see in play as early as today's game. This is basically a seven-player rotation Krzyzewski has this season, especially against this class of competition. We saw that in the Michigan State game in the Garden last week. So now we're going to see, is Krzyzewski out to run and press? Or we're going to see him play a little more conservatively, knowing that he's got to get these bodies to hold up over 3 days. Because this is not just 3 games in 3 days. This is 3 games in 3 days in a hot and humid gym that does take a toll. Also making his debut for us to see on the Tennessee sidelines, Quanzo Martin. We're going to see a little different coaching style. Bruce Pearl liked this intense defense that pressed all over the court. He wanted to force tempo. He wanted to get as many turnovers as he could. But often it was at the expense of not guarding the basket well. Look for better half-court defense from Tennessee, guarding the basket, not extending nearly as much. But, Teddy, is Tennessee going to be able to score this early in the year?
That's a real question, obviously. The Vols, a big talent gap from where they've been in recent seasons, particularly in the offensive end. And so much of their offense in recent years has been created from the tempo that they played at, the intense pressing style that Bruce Pearl favored, leading those easy runouts and fast break buckets. When you force the Vols into a half-court game, they tend to struggle. And I'm not convinced that's going to be any different in the 2011-2012 campaign. It's an interesting tactical matchup here when we look at the two coaches. Tennessee, they have the perimeter size to really bother those Duke shooters, and Duke gets so many of their points from good looks from the outside. Don't know if they're going to get those good looks tonight. And, of course, Duke has the interior size to keep the Vols from getting to the basket. So the total's been bet down slightly from 144.5 to 143.5. I don't know that I disagree with that move. I would think that's pretty sharp money coming in on the under.
So you open your Maui day by putting a little Duke under in your pockets. Then we go to the nightcap. Georgetown against Kansas. Kansas right now a 5.5-point favorite. And if we were ever going to say that youth will be served in an early season college basketball game, boy, this is going to be one of those. Take a look at this Georgetown roster. Two freshmen starting, all freshman reserves. No one on the bench who's ever played in a Georgetown uniform before this season, but they may be a little bit better off than you would think when you look at that experience chart. We talked on last week's show about the benefit that teams get from these preseason trips to foreign countries where not only do you get to practice extra, but you get to go out and play 5 or 6 games. Georgetown had one of those trips. They went to China back in August. Most of those freshmen were on the trip. So even though they haven't played a lot of college basketball games together, they've played some basketball games. Very young, but maybe a little more advanced than that roster might show.
And meanwhile, last week we spent a fair bit of time talking about Texas, and we'll talk about them again in just a moment. But the key issue we were talking about with the Longhorns was not just the loss of players that Rick Barnes was expecting, also the loss of players to the NBA that Rick Barnes wasn't necessarily expecting. We have a similar situation with Bill Self in Kansas. Yeah, he knew there was going to be some offseason losses from a last year's stellar squad, but he didn't expect or maybe wasn't prepared to lose both Morris brothers and Josh Selby in a single offseason. So the Jayhawks in somewhat of a rebuilding mode. Here's the quote from Self. I don't think we'll take a step backwards. We'll take a step sideways. I'll take the under sideways if we're making a wager right here on this one. They're going to take a step backwards this year, and we saw it against Kentucky. You know, Tyshawn Taylor, 22 points. The rest of the team combined for 43. They shot under 34% from the floor. Very young Jayhawks team, just like the very young Georgetown team. Only Kansas didn't have the benefit of that summer trip to China.
Yeah, there's one thing that we've seen from Kansas in the early going that we kind of like. Self is excited about this team because he gets to do some coaching. And every once in a while, you'll see a coach have a season like this that they look forward to. He doesn't have the super talent, doesn't have the prima donnas, but he's got kids who will work hard and who will listen. And when you see a ball hit the court, you're going to see a Kansas guy diving after it. I think Self is going to have a little bit of fun. Not a huge amount of upside this year for this Kansas team. This is not a Final Four or an Elite Eight type of talent, but a team we're going to find some spots to win tickets with. Probably not tonight, but maybe as an underdog later in these very brackets.
Let's go to the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Izod Center, it's like wherever the Dolphins play, Sun Life Stadium or Miami. The name has changed 100 times. Maybe not 100, I'm exaggerating. The name for where the Dolphins have played football has got to change 10 times in the last 20 years. The Izod Center in East Rutherford, well, that's not a name that rolls off the tongue very easily, and obviously that one, too, has changed many times in recent years. But let's talk about this one. Texas, -2.5 against NC State on the neutral floor this evening.
Of course, we say Izod Center, and I think that's the fourth time we've worked it in because some of the product line really isn't that bad. We both, Teddy and I both would wear medium to large, you know, in most of your products. So remember, Izod Center.
Extra large, Dave, extra large.
We talked about Texas a lot on this show last week, and Teddy just made allusions to that, where, you know, Rick Barnes doesn't have the typical Texas talent. He had a couple of kids leave early that he didn't expect to, so he had to fill this year with six freshmen. A couple of them were legitimate Texas recruits, a couple of them weren't. So we said last week that, wait a minute, this is Texas in name and reputation. It's not Texas on the court yet. They won the game against Rhode Island, didn't cover the spread, lost the game outright against Oregon State in overtime. And what did we see Saturday night? A young team lacking chemistry in the latter stages of a close game. Jacob Von Braun has been terrific for him. He scored 28, 35, and 25 in those three games. But the rest of the offense has been a little bit erratic. And here's your telltale sign. You go back through the Rick Barnes Texas career, top 10 in the nation in rebounding just about every year. Opening three games, Boston U, Rhode Island, and Oregon State. All soft teams. Add up the rebounds in those three games, Texas lost the battle of the boards.
Yeah, and Texas has had so much great talent in recent years. No Final Fours, but great talent. You know, when you talk about Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge and T.J. Ford, and you can go on and on with recent Rick Barnes recruits that have made it into the NBA and had an impact at the NBA level. Jacovon Brown certainly looks like one of those guys, but obviously, the talent around him, still a little bit spotty. When we talk about the NC State side of the equation, you know, here's a team that really struggled from the perimeter in their opener against Vanderbilt. They only made 4 3-point shots, missing Scott Wood, the three-point shooter, designated three-point shooter on that team. Doesn't look like he's going to be in action tonight either. But the one thing that the Wolfpack do bring to the table, boy, they have plenty of options around the basket. And with Texas a little bit depth shy when it comes to a front court presence, NC State may end up with a fair few opportunities to get easy buckets near the hole.
When we come back, Money Time is going to shift focus to Foxborough and a rare chance to watch Tyler Palko play quarterback in the NFL. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
This is David Ivey from Pub Crawl. It's funny because this is David from You should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
It's money time, NFL style, right now, and let's go to Foxborough, where the New England Patriots minus 16.5 total, 46.5 in tonight's Monday Night Football matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Dave, we spent the first part of the show. We made fun of a bunch of players. We made fun of the NCAA. Who are we going to make fun of here? I got a hunch. He's got the first initial, the same first initial that I do. Initials TP, perhaps? Toilet paper?
What a conundrum, you know, for the bettors in this game tonight. New England's allowing 6.2 yards per play, one of the worst defenses in the NFL this year, and they're laying 16.5. How often do you see that? Practically never. We were trying to look up teams that gave up 6 yards or more per play and were favored by 14 or more. Well, we couldn't look it up. It doesn't happen. Why does this happen? The presence of Tyler Palko, who, let's work on this resume so that you'll appreciate where he's come from. It's already been put on waivers by 4 different NFL teams. He was also cut by the California Redwoods of the U.S. Football League, and he was put on waivers by the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL. So if you're looking for your starting quarterback from a guy who was cut by a USFL and a CFL team, well, good luck to you. The markets have certainly made their statement about Palko. They've said, you know what? Yeah, we know the Patriot defense isn't very good. Let's see you do something about it.
Yeah, and again, when you're cut, and this isn't a long time ago. We're talking about 2009 that he was cut by a USFL and a CFL team. And, of course, the Saints, Cardinals, Steelers, Chiefs all thought he wasn't good enough. Oh, well, I guess the Chiefs thought he was good enough because they brought him back for a second audition. And, I mean, one thing we know about Belichick's defenses in general, they tend to cause young QBs without much confidence a fair bit of trouble. And we can expect Tyler Palko to be in trouble throughout the course of this evening, given his resume. Of course, when we look at the Kansas City side of the equation, you know, we know what Romeo Crennel likes to do against Tom Brady. He's done it before. And that is he plays a bend-but-don't-break style on defense. He allows Brady to hit his check-down routes. He tries to shorten the game and is very adamant about not giving up the big play, not giving up the deep ball, and you know, making it keeping Kansas City in that bend-but-don't-break, give-up-something-but-don't-get-crushed type of mentality. So Crennel's strategy certainly fares well, in theory, for under-bettors and for KC bettors, but there are some real issues with this Kansas City squad on the defensive side of the football, most notably with their pass rush.
Kansas City has 4 fewer sacks than any team in the NFL. And one thing you'll notice from some of our Inside the Number segments, we talk about measuring teams at the top or bottom compared to the rest of the league, because if there's a significant gap there, that tells you that they might even be worse. When someone says, well, they're last. No, they're last. Only one guy on the team has more than one sack this season, Tamba Ali. So they're not going to get a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. But you know what they are going to do? Maybe a 2-9, maybe a 3-8 type of alignment. Remember, Crennel has had some successful moments at forcing the Patriots to dink and dunk to slow the game down. So what they might be setting up for is if we can get a 47 to appear, which hasn't yet, but there's always that opportunity on a Monday night for a total to go up. Public likes to bet overs, even when a guy like Palko is out there. Is at 47, let's look at this a couple of different ways. Kansas City wants to slow the New England offense down. Not stop them, slow them down. Kansas City wants to dink and dunk and use as much time as possible, but also look at Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and if they've got a double-figure lead in the second half, you're going to see that play clock go down to 1 or 2 seconds on almost every snap. So if 47 gets out there, and that's kind of the key number for us, maybe we'll have a little bit of that total in our pockets by kickoff. But we think we've got a better way to make money for you today. So, Teddy, let's go back to the Izod Center. That's the sixth mention, by the way. And what do we have for tonight?
Well, clearly the Monday Night Football game doesn't inspire either one of us because we're not. We talked about it as much as we can. I'm not in action. I don't think you're in action on that game as well. We're going to go to the college hoops for tonight's play of the day, and we're going to go with the NC State Wolfpack plus 2.5 against Texas, continuing to fade this Longhorn teams. We did it last week. We're going to do it again today. NC State plus 2.5. That's the Vegas Sports Day play of the day.
Where are they playing that game?
I believe it's at the Izod Center.
It's at the Izod, I-Z-O-D, Izod Center.
Yeah, and you know, I don't wear a lot of Izod. Do you wear a lot of Izod?
Hopefully.
That's going to wrap it up for the Monday edition. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. We'll be back in 23 hours. For Malinsky, I'm Savransky. Enjoy the games. Good luck.